Good evening, Darklings. Welcome back to the program. If you've missed the first hour of this show, you've missed a lot. Remember, you can always check out the podcast version on WCCO Radio through Odyssey or wherever you listen to your very favorite podcasts. That's right. The Paranormal 360 is available on all streaming platforms. So go check out your very favorite podcast form and look for Paranormal 360 and you will find us there. Subscribe, follow along, and never miss a minute in the very best in paranormal programming. Again, I'm Dave Schrader. You're listening to the Paranormal 360. And in hour one, we laid the groundwork, introducing you to The Meadow, which doesn't sound nefarious or frightening, but it certainly seems to be a place of very high strangeness, a place in America's deep south that defies explanation and is earning comparisons to Utah's Skinwalker Ranch. Now it's time to step beyond the threshold. Trey Hudson is still with us, and in this hour, we'll explore what his team saw, what they felt, and what they survived in the heart of this anomalous zone. From mysterious beams of light and unknown bizarre injuries and psychological aftershocks, the stories are as unsettling as they are true. This isn't just a paranormal case study. It's a reminder that some places don't want to be found. So let's head back into the meadow with Trey Hudson. Trey, again, thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, I'm happy to be here. You know, I love, you know, talking to folks about this remarkable place. It's very special and holds a very, very special part in our hearts, you know, as we continue to unravel the mysteries of the meadow.
All right. So you started to talk to us a little bit about some of the type of things that you were seeing that you were able to capture. And you were talking about thermal hits and being able to see physical forms that you could not see with the naked eye.
Right.
You were hearing things, experiencing changes, time slip phenomena or time loss phenomena. All of this sounds like something from a Hollywood movie. Do you ever step away from an experience and an investigation there and question your own sanity as to what you just experienced?
Yeah, all the time. You know, I mean, whenever I look at it through the optics of somebody else, maybe perhaps hearing it for the first time, it's literally beyond belief. I mean, it's just so bizarre. It's so varied and, you know, so repeatable that it seems like it's fiction. But the really neat thing about this is I'm not taking secondhand stories. I'm not, you know, hearing, you know, stories from somebody's aunt whose brother heard something, you know, years ago. These are actually things happening to members of the Anomalous Studies and Observation Group with affidavits, with audio recordings, with interviews, you know, so it's the real thing happening to real people, you know, in real time. So it's, you know, the validity of it, you know, not only is the quality of the experience, but it's the quality of the experiencers, medical professionals, people from special operations, trained paramedics and firefighters, you know, the kind of people that we have, engineers, the kind of people we have on our team, really as a veneer of credibility, you know, to these experiences when we count them to the world. Otherwise, it just sounds like a really interesting campfire story.
When you find yourself so entrenched in this location and go back home, you or any of your team members, does that residual energy from being in there translate back? Do you find that strange things begin to happen around home or where your hotel and do they eventually fade or have you just become, do you think, awakened and sensitive and now it's just part of your everyday life?
Yeah, we've had several things, you know, follow us home. The hitchhiker effect, that's well documented by the NIDS team out at Skinwalker Ranch, you know, during the Bigelow days and even currently in other places of high strangeness. And our hitchhiker effects have been everything from orbs, you know, floating around the room to things almost like a trickster element, things disappearing off your desk when you turn your back and then reappearing the next day. But the most disturbing is one of our team members, after she was the actual videographer that shot the thermal footage of the cube or the portal, she started talking about having dreams of lights and orbs come into her room. So we started doing regression therapy with her. And what came out of that is somewhat unsettling, is during the regression, is she actually recounts things coming into her room, standing at the foot of her bed, pulling her off the bed as a malevolent figure, which from her optics, she described as like a witch or an old hag kind of like the Spearfinger witch that we talked about earlier, observing and supervising her, dare I say, abduction. You know, that's what this sounds like. Personally, for me, is in my backyard, 40 yards, I almost said meters, but 40 yards from my back door, is I found canine tracks that were 6 inches in diameter. So they were about that wide. You go back and you historically look at places of high strangeness, especially Skinwalker Ranch, as recounted in Hunt for the Skinwalker and Skinwalkers of the Pentagon. People talk about giant bipedal wolf-like creatures. Stardust Ranch, which I know you have some experiences right. with. Same thing. Bradshaw Ranch, you know, Marley Woods, you know, they talk about these large right. bipedal canines.
So can I ask you something, Trey, real quickly? Yeah. I want to go back to taking one of your teammates through a regression. Now, you mm-hmm. studied psychology. Mm-hmm. You have psychologists and people on your team.
Right.
I just have to ask this for the skeptical minded right. that are listening. If I am fascinated by the Civil War, I have a fairly good idea that if you do a past life regression on me, I probably think that right. I was killed in the Civil War. So right. it's hard to discern, is this real or imaginative? When this person has had an experience with the light anomalies and orbs in their room, and they've seen these things, interacted, felt this, you know, take place, then they get quote unquote regressed or hypnotized. Right. How do you delineate, you know, what's that line to say that she's not just, and I don't mean this in a dismissive yeah, no, way, but imagining this right. because of what her beliefs already are, as opposed to it being a real
yeah,
situation.
It's called the false memory syndrome. Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, and that's a fair skepticism. And, you know, I am kind of on the fence with the whole abduction phenomenon. You know, it's, I don't know. All I do is in my second book, I will present the transcripts from the regression, and I ask people to keep an open mind. And
right.
But if you look at it totality, you know, the gestalt of the whole experience, all the high strangeness, the orbs we've seen, the cubes, the portals, and all of this, the hitchhikers following people home, you have to take it with more than a degree of skepticism. You have to kind of listen to it and say, well, you know, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the world is a lot stranger than we can even imagine.
Yeah, that's for certain. Got about a minute left in this segment. Sure. The thing I bring up with that, though, is, you know, is there a way we can start to focus, Trey, that while we're doing the past, or, you know, these regressive moments, asking for things from the person that we can find out in the future to see if there's a corroboration, you know, if you're having a past life regression, is there something you can ask about the past? If you're having a lost memory, is there something that you can say? It's they can go, you know what? When they pulled me out, I noticed on my roof, there was 3 big scratch marks or round disc marks that look like burned, singed
right.
things on our tar that we can go up now and look and holy cow, there it is.
Well, it was the same thing with Betty Hill when she came up with the star map during her hypnotic regression, which right. actually corresponds to an actual real star map that she would have had no knowledge of. But yet the skeptics line up one after another, poking holes in her regression. So, you know, you can't prove a negative.
Right.
So
we have to take a break. We'll be right back. More Trey Hudson, more The Meadow, the Southern Skinwalker Ranch right after this. All right, welcome back, Darklings. Buckle up. This is a weird case and a strange story. And, you know, it shows just how small our world really is, that these aren't just one-off anomalous spots that are rare and unique, but there is more going on around the world on different places. Right here in the United States alone, now we've probably uncovered 12 to 15 of these hotbed zones, right? From the Bridgewater Triangle to places like you mentioned with, you know, Stardust Ranch and the Morley Woods and where you're located, the Meadows, the Skinwalker Ranch, all of this. So it shows the world's a lot smaller and these anomalies are taking place. Do you feel that there's an uptick in this high strangeness making itself known? Or do you say, no, Dave, it's always existed. We just now can share it in a much quicker, faster way.
I think they've always existed. And I think now that, you know, we've stepped boldly into the 21st century and we can communicate with each other so much easier, is people are starting to kind of look at the world around them and say, you know, we've got these things happening at A, B, and C. You know, we've got these things happening at, you know, da, 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 da. And it's become so easy. As when I was researching my second book, I have a whole chapter on the Stardust Ranch. And I happened across an episode of a well-known paranormal TV show that did an episode on and had some people that we might know in it.
I think that's me, Trey. Is that what you're trying to...
Some poor guy left on the side of a mesa, you know. And so, you know, I was actually able to go back and look at that episode and take notes, you know, during my research. That's how easy information is to obtain, you know, in the 21st century. So I think people are starting to learn about these things. But the inverse, the other side of that coin is really cool, which is with all this information, all this data, all this sharing of stories and anecdotes and data, it's still a mystery. We still don't know what's going on. And how cool is that? You know, that's amazing.
Right. But it's also frustrating to people that have spent their lives investigating this to, you know, where you started and where you are 10 years into it.
Yeah.
Do you really feel you have any grasp on what's going on?
No. The only thing I can hope for is indicators. Like we've discovered that radiation spikes like at about the 1.15 to 0.33 microsieverts of radiation, little spikes can be indicators. I personally have had an incident during a radiation spike of extreme disorientation, almost like a missing 401 kind of thing. Luckily we had protocols in place that kept me from getting lost and, you know, finding my, you know, foot bone in a boot 3 years later.
Right.
So
and I think you meant missing 411, right?
Missing 401. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, you know, we've had things like that. And even we've done Estee sessions out there and had, you know, the transcript and the video look like we're communicating with something, an entity. Can I put a, you know, a mark on that entity and say, I know exactly what that is? Absolutely not. But something's there. It seemed to want to communicate, and the phenomena is evolving. The phenomena we experience today is not the same phenomena we experienced back in 2017. It's much, much different.
If these beings and portals exist, why aren't these creatures, these ultra-terrestrials, paraterrestrials, why aren't they spilling out in a wider array? Why are they staying focused to one little location?
There's a couple of things like that. I'll give you an analogy. Mm-hmm. Is you have a forest, and in this forest is an anthill, and the State Department of Natural Resources decides to build a road through this forest. So all of a sudden there's a road next to this anthill. Ants come out and they run up to this road and they start squirting pheromones out, trying to communicate with it because they don't know what a road is. Mm-hmm. It's so alien to them. We're the ants, and the desires, the methodologies, and the ultimate goals of these paraterrestrials are so foreign and strange to us that we may never comprehend what exactly they're trying to do. And we're just picking up the little bits and detritus of their actions and trying to make sense of us from our own little ant perspective.
Well, that our little ant perspective makes many of us fearful and feel that this is malevolent and, you know, foreboding. But is it just that, like you said, we are under the microscope. We are the ants that are being watched, and what's being done to us and with us is not meant to harm, but it is meant for the science and understanding of their people.
And, you know, when I go out and, you know, mow my yard, I don't give any consideration to the ants. That might sound kind of hard, but I really don't. We might just be a side effect of something, the bigger picture that they're studying. You know, it's kind of unnerving. And you start looking at it from an existential perspective, it can become frightening, you know, absolutely. Sure. And you know, one thing I tell people is if they get into this business, is it helps to have a belief system, you know, a personal belief system to help you work your way through this and to give you some sense of calm and protection, you know, when things do get weird, because there was a study done, and they looked at the potential of severe psychological harm of the extreme otherness that people experience. And it's very real, and it mimics PTSD. And that's another reason we have a psychoanalyst on our team, is that can help us work through, you know, trying to conceptualize and understand and accept, you know, this high strangeness as it presents itself to us, because it can be very strange and very unnerving, you know, not only from a personal, you know, just not feeling and not liking it, but from a wider existential perspective as you try to figure out your place in the universe.
With that said, your high interest in understanding this, if you located through a thermal or radioactive emission a portal, which I'm sure you have in because you've seen it, have you ever thought of crossing that threshold? Would you step through it to see what's on the other side?
Well, actually, if you look into the anomalous studies and observations group protocols and operational omnibus, there is a chapter on how to address that. And it talks about using ropes and tying people off, approaching it with our equipment, and give some idea for what needs to be done.
Trey, have you not watched science fiction movies? Those ropes break, man. Those ropes break.
Well, ropes are the best I can do. I mean, unfortunately, we have to lug all our gear out to this location. You can't even access it by vehicle. So, you know, if I could bring a steel cable and a, you know, 20-ton winch, I would, but the ropes are about the best we got. So, you know, but believe it or not, though, there are always people that are willing to do it.
Would you be willing to do it?
Let's see. I'm retired. My daughters are grown. My life insurance is paid up. I would have to give it thoughtful consideration. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
No, I thought for sure you were going to say my children are grown. Everything's paid off. I'm good. I don't have any need to step through. As a father of 11, I can't wait for that portal to open, Trey. I'm jumping. Ooh. I need the mental break.
I hear you.
Exactly. Okay. We're going to take a break again in just a minute here. But do you feel in danger as though when you're there, something is stalking you for harm? Or do you feel you're just in the presence of things we just don't understand enough?
Yeah, I feel like something at times is watching us and has a keen interest in us. That generates a whole bunch of subconscious reactions, which can equate to fear. Mm-hmm. You know, I have gone to the meadow sometimes where it feels completely fine and benign. Other times I go there and it's like, you know, I'm just not digging this. And, you know, you have to take a prudent action.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. This episode of Paranormal 360 with Dave Schrader is brought to you by Keith, the insurance guy, helping you save big on health coverage without sacrificing quality. Call 612-230-5522 to start saving. That's 612-230-5522. Well, my darklings, it is weird. This world we live in is weird. There are so many strange and miraculous things that take place around us. You know, you hear of places like Medjugorje or Fatima. In the cosmic scope of things, looking at places like Skinwalker Ranch, the Meadows and such, I often wonder, are these holy religious places where miracles and strange things in the sky are appearing, are they the same thing, but they're being looked through the lens of the religious perspective as opposed to the anomalous perspective? Thoughts on that, Trey?
Yeah. That's a very good point. Actually, during my lectures, I have a slide and it shows the Mona Lisa, and it has like a whole bunch of people standing over there, and they're all looking at the Mona Lisa through toilet paper tubes. And each of them has a shirt on, and one says religion, one says science, one says, you know, fear, one says optimism, you know, one says ignorance. And we're all looking at parts of the Mona Lisa through our own narrow tubes. And only until we drop the tubes and look at it, can we see the whole picture. And one of the things I tell people when I do my lectures is I have a disc that's red on one side, blue on the other, and I hold it up exactly by the edge. And I say, okay, the audience, at the count of three, tell me what color you see. Half of the room says red, half of them says blue. And I tell them, 100% of you are right, and 100% of you are wrong. It's your perspective. Truths do not equal truth. So looking at things like that is we have to keep a very open mind and realize our own bias, be it a normalcy bias, a religious bias, a fearful bias, a past trauma bias, you know, whatever. And, you know, once again, we have a psychoanalyst on our team to help us work through those biases to try to get a clearer picture. Now, the other side of that coin is these are very experiential happenings. They mean different things to different people. We've right. had almost like spiritual things happen to people that they were almost brought to tears that happened only to them. And, you know, that's a whole other story. But you have to respect their experience, their lived experience, because to them, it is their truth. Might not be my truth, but it is their truth. That has to be handled with kid gloves also.
Wouldn't it be fascinating to go there, though, to call upon religious icons, you know, whether mm-hmm. it's Muhammad or Buddha or Jesus right. Christ or Mother Mary, who is so often seen at locations. Right. Could, if we called forth that being, if there is portals and dimensional openings and rifts, and you know, there's a belief system that Jesus and the angels and yeah, a lot of absolutely. That are nothing more than alien figures that we've been telling stories about, which would explain the lights seen around them, their flight, right. which could be them being beamed up, or, you know, the different things that are going on. Have yeah. you guys ever considered trying to call on the religious elements of this to see if something would follow?
Not specifically. And in order to keep peace and calm among the group, we have many different religious and spiritual perspectives in our group. Mm-hmm. So we're very careful about not trying to look at things through just one perspective.
Right.
You know, I've got, and I don't really talk about it a whole lot because I don't think it's germane, but I have a religious perspective that I look at the world, you know, through that optic. Mm-hmm. And it gives me great comfort and hope. And yeah, I think people, you know, when going through this, need to have some sort of system. And I think we also need to respect people that are maybe looking at it through another system. So no, I don't look at it strictly through like a Fatima, you know, kind of, you know, apparitional kind of thing, a Marian apparition. I just take it for what it is, report it the best I can, as objectively as I can, and let not only my team members, but people who digest the products, be it a documentary, you know, one of my books or whatever, digest it through their own optics, you know, put their own spin on it and take away something from it, because this isn't my story, you know, or this isn't the story of ASOG. This is kind of the world story. This experience belongs to the world, and I want everyone to take something special away from it.
You've mentioned your books. Please tell us the names of both books and where people can follow you as well.
Yeah, the first book is The Meadow Project, Explorations into the South Skinwalker Ranch. It's on Amazon. Just look up Trey Hudson. You know, there it is. The second book comes out on the 27th of May. It is called Return to the Meadow, Further Adventures at the South Skinwalker Ranch. And it talks about our adventures all the way up until, you know, currently. Also had the stuff about hypnotic regression and just all kinds of really good stuff. And I compared different sites and things like that. Discovery Channel did a very nice documentary on my portal video. That's out there. So you can look that up. You can find me at Trey Hudson Author on Facebook. TreyHudsonResearch.com is my website. Or you can just go behind the local liquor store and look under the cardboard boxes. And usually I'm passed out there. No, not really. So, you know, that's where they can find
me. For those of you listening right now going, I'm never going to remember all this. Thankfully, we have a way for you to remember it. All you have to do is go check out the podcast version of the show. Just look up Paranormal 360 wherever you listen to podcasts. You'll find this and all the other episodes we've recorded, and you can take your time, listen, rewind, pick those pieces back up, and continue on. Trey, we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Ooh. So let's dive into some of the more profound
right.
holy beep moments that you and your team have had. If you had to categorize, what would you say, swinging out with this 3 minutes, what is the highest level of weird you've experienced?
That portal thing. I mean, that was so bizarre, you know, and the fact that we actually captured it on film is just crazy.
Now, were you seeing the portal?
Not with the naked eye, on thermal.
On what thermal. Did it open in front of you? Did it, what was it like?
What it was is it manifested on thermal as a cube that was colder than its surroundings. Now, ghosts are often told, you know, said to be colder than their surroundings. So it's like right. there's some sort of manifestation of negative energy there. It was there. It dissipated. We sent a team into the area where it was. And as they approached where this thing was, their thermal images disappeared off of our equipment. We've gone out to the same location, same time of day, try to recreate it. We can't do it. We also have people now being touched. And recently, now people are getting precognitive visions. They will have a vision of something, and then the next day it'll happen, which goes back to you were talking about there is no past, there is no future, there's only the present, and everything exists in the here and now in some other dimension.
I love these kind of discussions, knowing that this place exists and there are people like you out there digging deeper, trying to understand it.
And I'm going to give you a scoop right now.
Okay.
There's a documentary coming out soon.
Great. And where will we be able to watch that? I
cannot disclose where you'll see it yet. We're working on the release. But I saw the first trailer for it today. The people that were out there filming the documentary, it should be very cool. There are people that you will know.
Did it affect and impact the people that that were there? I know a lot of the film crews are not necessarily believers. Did they walk away believing that this is a place of...
They came away with believing it was a very special place, yes.
That's awesome. I love when it can be shared with the cast and crew, right? Where people that are maybe just there to be a National Geographic exploring cameraman who's used to watching tigers eat antelopes and they can't do anything about it. And suddenly they're right in the midst of it and watching these things unfold for themselves. Did you have anybody have to leave set that was, you know, not ready for that?
We did not on this documentary. There's another documentary that we did a portion of it. We had such a strange encounter with shadow people that the cinematographer refuses to ever come back.
Nice way to break the help, yeah. Trey. Trey Hudson, our guest, The Meadow. We're talking about a very strange place in the South, mirrors and is very reflective of things that have been taking place in other areas like Utah's Skinwalker Ranch. We'll come back. We have one more segment together. We'll hear some of the other strange stories. I will not interrupt. We will simply power through them next. Okay, kids, we've got one segment left. Let's get weird. Trey Hudson, our guest, The Meadows is the location. Let's hear it, Trey. Let's hear some of the other strange experiences. Now, you mentioned that the cube, you considered the cube the portal itself, or did you consider the cube had come out of a portal?
Who knows? The cube seemed to be representative of another reality. I'll just put it like that. So, you know, a portal is a loaded word. The cube seemed to represent something that was here and not here at the same time. So I'll lay it out there. You know, it wasn't like a Stargate, you know, that you can jump through and go to Mars or anything, but, you know, it was something that represented something here and not here, you know, reality that was here. The people that went into the remnants of it talked about it being cold, being extremely dark, not having any sounds. When they went into it, they didn't encounter any encumbrances. They just walked right into it. Hmm. But yet when they turned 180 degrees and came out, they're now encountering brambles and branches that weren't there before. So it's like reality was just a little bit different when they went into it, and then it kind of faded and was normal when they came back out. So that would have to be number one. Number two, personally, is my disorientation. Is we detected a radiation spike from a baseline of about 0.06 microsieverts per hour to 0.33. I crossed a small river. I ended up where I started, and I thought I had actually entered into a new meadow when, in fact, I just walked. Somehow it came out 180 degrees and started right where I was. And I was so disoriented that I thought I was at a new place. And one of my team members had to actually talk me down. Now, I've hunted big game, North America, Africa. I'm an Eagle Scout. I'm a former Army intelligence officer, backpacked all over the U.S. I'm pretty comfortable, you know, out in the wilderness. I was so disoriented. I kind of scared myself, because I didn't really know where I was, and I was at a place I'd probably been to 50, 60 times.
All right.
At that location the year before, we found a strange sapling. At the top of the sapling, it was formed into a perfect oval, like the top of an ankh, or very similar to what people have called the galactic keyhole symbolism, which is a symbolism that you often see with ancient civilizations trying to denote a gateway to the other world. So, you know, it's you start having these coincidences line up, it makes you start wondering. We now have people being touched, physically touched. So almost like a ghost kind of stuff now, you know, being touched.
When they get touched, are they feeling it more like like if something grabs your wrist, you can feel flesh and blood. You can feel that. Are they feeling what feels like a tactile sensation of a physical form, or is it an energetic, like a vibration or something?
More like a physical form. Like one of our female team members, we call it the Bo Honkus incident, because while she was sitting in her camp chair, something grabbed her Bo Honkus, which is the bottom part of your body. Mm-hmm. And she jumped up and said, oh, you know, and she looked and there was no, first of all, we wouldn't do that because that's quite, you know, rude and boorish, right. But there was nobody around her. And at that same instance, just a few minutes later, researcher Katie Page had a traveling companion come down to the meadow with her, and his hoodie was yanked on. You know, something pulled on his hat or on his jacket. So, you know, now we've got tactile things. And then we get into the precognitive thing where people are being communicated through dreams. One of my team members, who's a former Air Force Academy graduate, special operations guy, had the term Knox Magby come into his mind in the middle of the night twice. He asked me what that meant. And I looked it up. The term Knox, N-O-X, is the Roman goddess of the night. Magby is similar to the word magba, which comes from the old English poem Beowulf, which means kindred or kin. We had done a CE5 protocol that night.
And CE5 is close encounter 5. It's a way to try to engage extraterrestrial craft and beings.
Right. So nothing happened. He goes to bed. He has the term Knox Magby. I look it up. It comes up with the night goddess and children or kindred. So we look at what are children of the night goddess or children of the night that are like children that have big heads that come to people at night. Sounds like the Greys.
Sure does.
So now we've got this like communication happening to people while they dream. Had another team member that dreamed of square shaped spirals while she was out at the meadow. She did not know the history of the meadow, had never heard my podcast or books or anything. She did not know that the spiral represented an icon in pictographs and pictographs of gateways or doorways to the other world or the underworld. But she perceived it in her dream as being squared off. She didn't know about the cube portal that we had experienced earlier. So now people are having things in their dreams.
What about physical forms? Have you seen, not just thermal, have any of you witnessed these dogmen, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, Mothman-like creatures?
Usually we're out there at night, and we've captured one thing that might have been a Sasquatch on film, but you could say it's a blob squatch. You know, that's I could discount that. We have a very compelling thermal of a large hulking figure with no neck, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, most of the stuff happens at night, basically because it's quiet. Our thermals work better at night. You know, we don't have, this is public land. You know, I will say that. So we try to get out there when there aren't people around.
Right.
So most of the time our equipment is picking it up, but the pinpricks of light and the orbs that we see those with our naked eyes. We've actually had an orb track a team like it was stalking them. You know, just a whole myriad of, you know, strange things.
When you are done doing these investigations and go back, do you ever have trouble processing the totality of what you've just seen and witnessed? And do you end up feeling like it almost didn't happen?
Not so much. I mean, we have so many people out there. And one of the things we do is we do an after action review after every outing. So we talk about, you know, therapeutically talk about what happened, and people do up affidavits and reports of, you know, what they did. So, you know, I've got this compilation of all this data, and it's like, well, obviously it happened. Now, what is it? What did happen? I really don't know. But as long as we're able to, and as long as we're healthy, we will keep going out there and researching it as long as we can.
That's fantastic, Trey Hudson. Thank you so much. Quick question for you, Darklings. Are you self-employed or paying out of pocket for health insurance? You might be throwing away hundreds every month. Keith, the insurance guy, has helped families and small business owners save 29 to 51% without changing doctors or sacrificing care. As a matter of fact, one client said Keith saved us over $400 a month, and he can help companies as well as individuals nationwide. Call him at 612-230-5522. That's 612-230-5522, or visit KeithTheInsuranceGuy.com. Stop overpaying for your insurance. Thank you for tuning in to the Paranormal 360.